Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, 6 Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the 6 Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the 6 Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the 6 Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, Sister Ruth, and who do we got on the old gospel bus tonight as we pull out of the station?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Ian, and me. And I'm having trouble with Ian's mic. I don't know why it doesn't want to open, so I'll keep working on it.
Ruth, try hitting refresh, and then try again.
Okay,
so Ian, just hold tight. We'll get your mic open here shortly. Just a little bug with the blog talk in our computer just being a pain in the neck. We will get your mic open momentarily, and you'll hear that when it happens. Okay, well, while we're doing that, Sister Emily, what do you got for us tonight? Hopefully you got your coffee.
Hey there, Kenny. Hey there, Ken.
All right, what do you got for us?
Well, since I was on our children's program this afternoon, I ended up getting one big blessing tonight, about an hour and a half ago.
Okay, a prayer praise. Okay, let's hear it.
I got a call back from my landlord in a potential new apartment.
Ooh, that's a good there. So sounds good. That's a good prayer praise. So we'll be praying for that possibility that that works out. Okay, so a prayer request and a prayer praise. All right, that sounds good.
Okay, also I spoke with Mom, and all I'm saying, I can't say on air what it is, but there is a special unspoken for my mother.
Okay, will do.
And
of course.
Like earlier.
Of course, you had that unspoken with Bonnie.
Yeah. And as our boss man would say, for mankind and our ministry and the need for our bus.
Okay.
And with that, I am complete.
All right, Ruth. Did you manage to get Ian open?
Yeah, he's on now.
Okay, Ian, your mic is open. Any prayer requests, prayer praise?
Probably just a prayer for my brain to come back.
Oh, you're still missing your brain. Okay. Well, Emily, if you spot it running around, Ian's looking for it.
Oh, I know what happened. He saw his school bus coming. His left side jumped out and says, hey, I don't want to go in. His right side jumps out behind it and says, hey, wait up for me. Me neither.
Okay. Well, if you spot him running around, he's looking for him. Okay.
He'll be cool, though.
I know that you also would like prayer for your continued studies at school, that you do well, your teachers, right?
Yeah, and also preparing to probably get a little bit more business in the little lawn care company I have.
Okay. And also praying that his commercial that he recorded will start to bring in a little bit, which this week, since it was kind of late, We may not get it on, we didn't get it on tonight, but we're going to try to get Six and them to air it probably around Sunday and through some of the other days there. And definitely we'll be airing it on the Wednesday shows, both the Sunday 1 o'clock show for the children's program and the Sunday night show. So next Wednesday night you'll see it and hear it running for sure. So that's a definite, you'll hear it running on those shows. Ian, if you join us again next Wednesday, you'll hear it definitely running on both of those programs. So just letting you know, we didn't get a chance to pop it into this Wednesday show since everything was already preset. But next Wednesday, for sure, it will be definitely on air, okay, as far as the two Wednesday shows. All right, and we will pray that that will also work. Okay, is that it for your prayer request, Ian?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Ruth, your turn.
Yeah, I'm praying for Emily and that Ian gets more business. And my back hurts. So pray for that tonight. And I'm complete.
Okay. Emily kind of covered it, but, of course, our military, our politicians, those in leadership in all nations, that they seek God first instead of their own selfish wills. Pray for our military, like I said, police forces, first responders, those in hospitals, nursing homes, as well as those who work there, for sure. So with that, we're going to ask Sister Emily to give us a quick prayer, and then we're going to move on into the show.
Bunny, Kenny, am I getting my arm twisted?
Actually, both.
Ow. Just as long as you don't twist my left leg, I'll be okay.
Okay. We'll be nice.
I had to be funny there.
If you're going to be the prayer team leader, you got to pray.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast tonight. I pray that everything that's said and done here is pleasing in your sight. I ask you for Ian and his lawn care business, that you would be with him, and that when his commercial airs next week, that that will help his business boom up, and pray for him and his family, and as our boss would say, for mankind, and for Bonnie and the patients out there at the nursing home where my mother is, and the staff, and all our government, and all the other prayer requests that were given, Lord, you know what they are. You know the needs. I ask you just to touch each one, name by name, person by person, just to be with them, and with things that have been going on in my life, that you'd be with me, and with Ken and Ruth, with our ministry, that things would continue to grow. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, we got a good show lined out for you tonight on the Wednesday night gospel Bible study. What we have, Ian, just so as you know, since you're a first-time listener, just kind of fill you in, we play Southern gospel, country-type Southern gospel music, contemporary gospel music, for the Wednesday show, have kind of a little bit of a hoedown. And then after that, we have first a message that is highlighted from the Holiness Bibles for the Blind website from our sermons archives. We have over 200 titles that are there. And tonight we'll be featuring, you could go right on the website that we already gave, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, B-I-B-L-E-S, for, F-O-R, the, T-H-E, blind, B-L-I-N-D, .org, that you put that in your browser, and then once you've clicked that, you click on where it says sermons. Then once you've clicked sermons, you go to the link on that page that says Fearless, F-E-A-R-L-E-S-S, Fearless Teachings. Click that.
big series of message titles will show up. What you're looking for tonight is down in the letter H's. How I know there is a God. You click that. The sermon will pop up. It will give you all the details, the length of the message, the person who's preaching it, gives all the details of what it's about. And on that page, there is a download link. When you click the download link, it will take you directly to the download where you could download it for free. It does not cost you one red cent for a download on our website. In fact, all sermons on there, you could click them and get a free download. We don't believe in charging for God's word because Jesus didn't stand on the seashore of Galilee or on the Mount of Olives and charge people before he started to preach. He just gave them the word. Of course, now if a person wanted to give a donation, later you will hear information throughout the evening on how to donate to Holiness Bibles for the Blind as well as Six Eyes Radio. You will hear information on how to do that, but we do not charge. So you can get a free download of the very sermon you hear tonight, How I Know There Is a God. After that, then we've got a little contest been going on with all of the Six Eyes Radio personalities that are on Six Eyes Radio. We've had the head man. We've had him do this. We had Pastor Bonnet do this. And we've had Ruth so far do this. Now it's Emily's turn. You just heard her voice. And what it is we pair up a song and a poem. Now, by listening to the lyrics of the song and the words of the poem, they have to come up with a common theme. What do the two have in common? Okay? Like, if you have an apple and an orange, what do they have in common? Well, they're a fruit. Okay? They're both fruits. Well, in this case, the song and the poem have a common message. And the idea is the person has got to figure out what the common message is between the two. Now, if they get the answer right, they get a correct buzzer. If they get it wrong, they get a bad buzzer. And then, obviously, the person, the contestant, can either choose, if they get the bad buzzer, to decide to blow it up or shoot at it or whatever, if they choose to do so. Which, in the end, the idea is to see who could get the most correct answers. And that person will be top dog, so to speak. So far, Pastor Bonnet has been 22 for 26, because there are 26 pairs of song and poem. Pastor Bonnet is 22 for 26. Brother Six Eyes, the head of our station, is 20 for 26. And Ruth is 17 for 26. Well, at this present time, Emily is 16 for 19. So she's basically right coming up behind Ruthie. Tonight, will she match Ruthie? Or will she stay behind Ruthie? That's the question. And then after the song and poem, Ruth will be coming in with her Bible prophecy. Sometimes it's about the end times and Bible prophecy. Sometimes the message may not be, but in its own way, it relates to getting into Bible prophecy. And Ruth, what do you got for us tonight?
Great Commission.
Okay, the Great Commission. So in its way, it does have to do with Bible prophecy, because if we fulfill the Great Commission, we will be getting souls saved knowing that the rapture is coming. So we want to get as many people saved as we can. So that's why we need to know what the Great Commission is. So in its way, it does have to do with Bible prophecy. So she'll be speaking on that tonight. And then after that, and a few last things, commercials, etc., then we will open the mics just in case anybody has a question about the message that was presented, How I Know There Is a God, or about Ruthie's message, The Great Commission. And then we open it up for any last prayer requests that you may have thought up during that time, or questions or comments about the messages. And so let's get into the program tonight.
Thank you.
you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. River takes the mic on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song.
For the Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and ATL, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
And you notice, God says he changes not. As we find also in the Bible, he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he is God. He changes not. And that's why the sons of Levi are not consumed. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Amen.
I'm gonna move out of this house. memories flood my heart, but my house and I must part. I'm gonna move out of this house someday. Tomorrow the angels soon will come to this house I'm going from. I'm gonna move out of this house some of these days.
I'm to go that distance. And God only knows where to be. But oh, what joy, days of young. Once this whole world sets me free, hold my soul. Never to be found. So please listen when I'm talking. I'm just saying what needs to be said. Make plans while you're still living. It's too late when you're dead. But God only knows when that might be. But oh, what joy waits up yonder. What this whole world sets me free.
Thank you, Ted, for all others. fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of man can ever take from his hand. Still here returns, or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HolinessBibles. FortheBlind.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is that time once again for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Shalom. Yep. Again. Dear listener, this is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you once again from the city of Jerusalem, the land of Israel, with the Hebrew Word of the Week. And this week's Hebrew word is the word for water, which is mime. Again, the Hebrew word for mime, M-A-I-M, mime. And the verses for this Hebrew word of the week comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 33, down through 39, and again, we're talking water. In Hebrew, mime, M-A-I-M, mime. And he took the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And in case you're wondering, dear listener, why, Elijah was led of the Lord to tell him to do it three times, because God says, by two or three witnesses shall everything be established. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And when you think about it in that context also, you can also say that each time the water got pulled on the burnt sacrifice and the wood, each time that water, that mime, got pulled on, it surely had to do with two or three witnesses. Each point of the water was a picture of, for each member of the Godhead, the water, one point representing the Father, one point representing the witness of the Son, and another point representing the witness of the Spirit, even as 1 John 5:7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Verse 35 down to 39, and the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things to thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water, mime, that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And indeed, our God, Elohim, the Hebrew word for God, Elohim, Abba Ben Ruach Kadesh, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he is a consuming fire. Until next time, this has been Brother Timothy Groover coming to you again from the city of Jerusalem, land of Israel, with the Hebrew word of the week. God bless. Shalom.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift. And we here at the 6Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the 6Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother 6Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the 6Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the 6Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
It is think I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab. And my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want a lot of sin. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
That you can ask than this: is there a God? Mortimer Adler, the famous scholar and educator, editor of the great books of Western civilization, says in his Great Ideas Syntopticon, which is the topical index for the great books, he says that almost every writer in Western civilization has written on the subject of God, with the exception of a few pure mathematicians. The chapter on God is the largest in these volumes. The reason for that, he says, is obvious, and that is that more consequences for thought and action result from the affirmation or denial of God than from any other basic question. Indeed, the entire tenor of our lives will be completely affected by the answer that we give. Today, I would like to speak to you on what may seem to some to be an audacious subject, and that is how I know that there is a God. Now, in an age when many people feel that you can't know anything, to say that I know that there is a God of all things would seem to them to be utterly preposterous. But I believe that it is not. And I think that the Scripture very clearly tells us that we can know God. In fact, it says, this is eternal life, that you may know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So how do I know there is a God? Let me set forth several classic arguments for the existence of God, brought up to date in light of some modern scientific findings that certainly have an impact upon them. One of the oldest, of course, going all the way back to Aristotle, is called the cosmological argument. The cosmological argument is basically an argument that says that for every effect, there must be an adequate cause. You can remember the cosmological argument is an argument from cause. Might help you to remember that they both begin with C, cause and cosmological. Cosmological simply means the study of the cosmos, the universe. If we're looking for arguments or proofs for the existence of God, then we don't have to look under a table or in a corner somewhere. All you have to do is look about you. The universe is the biggest thing that there is, physically. And it itself is the greatest proof for the existence of God. This has been recognized from the very beginning of thinking men. The universe is the greatest, largest argument for God. Notice, if the universe exists, and we all agree that it does, then there are only three explanations for it. One, it is eternal. Now, there was a time when there were men that believed that. But with modern scientific discoveries, it is no longer possible to believe that. Scientists, for the last 150 years, have been scurrying around trying to avoid the plain implications of the modern laws that they have discovered that clearly indicate the universe is not eternal. The great law, which is the most thoroughly documented of all of the laws of science, the second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy, which says that everything is running down, everything is losing energy, everything is wearing out, growing old. So it's very clear that if the universe were eternal, it would already have run down. The universe and everything has a tendency to distribute its heat equally into all parts of the universe. The universe right now is trying to make every square foot of the universe the same temperature. So the suns are getting cooler and the space is gradually receiving more and more energy. As if you were to set a glass of hot water and a glass of freezing cold water down on a table and come back in a day, you would find that they would both be the same temperature. And so it will be ultimately, if the universe continued long enough, the entire universe would be the same tepid temperature. There would be no freezing space. There would be no blazing suns. And yet the universe has not run down. Therefore, it is not eternal. Efforts recently to have an oscillating universe to avoid this have all fallen afoul of recent scientific discoveries, which make it absolutely certain that the universe cannot be eternal. Second possibility, if it's not eternal, maybe it is self-created, that it created itself out of nothing. Well, there is another scientific law, sometimes expressed in this way, ex nihilo, nihil fit, which means out of nothing, nothing comes. That nothing produces nothing, and the universe cannot have produced itself out of nothing. In fact, that flies into the face of the first law of thermodynamics, which says precisely that nothing produces nothing. A third possibility is that it was created by someone who is himself eternal, and that is the first statement of the Bible, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That is the most scientific statement that has ever been made about the origin of the universe. So in light of all of the modern discoveries about the universe, it is becoming increasingly clear that the universe itself is a great argument for the existence of God. Even Dr. Robert Jastrow, one of the leading space scientists in the world, the head of the U.S. Institute for Space Studies, the founder and head of the Goddard Space Institute for NASA. I've had dinner with Dr. Jastrow, and we've discussed these things, and he has said in his writings that modern scientific discoveries make it easier and easier for the scientists to believe that there is a God. In fact, make it harder and harder for anyone to believe that there is not. Secondly, and beyond the universe, there is the presence of life itself. And still, from a cosmological perspective, as the cause of life, where did this life come from? The world teems with life. This sanctuary is packed with living creatures. Where did they come from? Well, it used to be held that life arose by spontaneous generation, flies, maggots coming into existence on putrid meat, and frogs coming out of the slime of bogs. Well, that was proved to be false by Pasteur and Reddy, and so that was abandoned, that life was not coming into existence from non-life today, and so they retreated to the dim past, and they said that though life is not spontaneously coming into existence today, it did do so millions of years ago. In fact, 2 billion years ago, they like to say. Well, very interestingly, that discoveries that have taken place in a decade or so have shown the impossibility of that happening. For example, protein, which not too many years ago was the most complex substance known to man, protein molecules by the hundreds and thousands go to make up a cell. And they themselves are so complex, so different from the world of Charles Darwin 150 years or 25 or 30 years ago, who frequently talked about a simple single cell, that we know now that the complexity of the protein molecule itself is such that Lecomte de Nouy, a French Nobel Prize-winning mathematician and one of the world's great experts in probability studies, said that the probabilities of even one protein molecule, one of the thousands of building blocks of a cell, coming into existence, it would take 10 to the 234 billion years to produce one protein molecule. Now, some of you, I'm sure, don't appreciate what that means. Probability experts have said that if the probabilities of anything coming into existence are greater than 10 to the 50th power, it will never happen anywhere in the universe, regardless of how much time the entire history of the universe, 10 to the 50th. To simply get one protein molecule, 10 to the 234th power, not 234 billion, but 234 zeros, billions of years. Well, then they discovered something even more complex, DNA. Doctors Watson and Crick discovered the key, the central brain of life in the nucleus of the cell, the DNA molecule. Every nucleus of every cell has this complex double helix, double circular stair type of molecule, which is filled with the most complex things. And it is so complex that if you took each one of those DNA molecules out of your cells and stretched them out and linked them together, your body has enough DNA to reach from here to the sun and back 400 times. That is so complex that Francis Crick, who discovered it and who was an atheist, is an atheist, that there's no possible way that even the DNA molecule could ever have arisen in this world by chance in even 5 billion years. So he said it must have come from some advanced beings living in some other part of the galaxy. Where those beings came from, he didn't say. At simply extending the shadow, an infinite regress in logic, which will not work. But meanwhile, Sir Fred Hoyle, one of the world's two greatest mathematicians and astronomers from Cambridge, made a study of the possibility of a cell coming into existence anywhere in the entire universe, in the whole history of the universe. And he discovered that the chances were zilch. 10 to the 40,000th power years to produce a cell. 10 with 40,000 zeros after it, it would take that many years to produce one cell. Conclusion, said atheist Sir Fred Hoyle, the only way that life can possibly exist is that it was created by an infinite intelligence whom you may wish to call God. And so atheist Fred Hoyle was forced to become a believer in God by the continuing advance of modern science. Thirdly, let me mention what is called the teleological argument. Telos in Greek means the end. And this is the argument from ends or purposes or design. The argument from design, which says that all throughout the universe we see evidence of design. You look at a complex machine and you conclude that it has a designer. That is the old watchmaker argument brought up to date, even in the days of the great astronomer Kepler, who had an acquaintance who was an atheist with whom he had argued many a time. And Kepler decided to have built for himself a complex working model of the solar system, which had the sun, all of the planets rotating about it, with the moons or satellites going around the different planets. It was a wonder to behold. And one day his atheist friend came into his study and went over to one side of the room, and he saw this great working model of the solar system. He was amazed. He was intrigued by the incredible complexity of this working model, which is going around and things going around things, and it was just, he said, it's beautiful. He said, who made this? Kepler said, no one. It just made itself. Gathered together the dust and things from this end of the study. It must have been a draft coming in the door. I just came in one day, one morning, and there it was. His friend said, you don't expect me to believe that. He said, no, I don't, but you believe that the real solar system, which is vastly more complex than this simple model, just made itself. That is even more palpably absurd. We see also in the same matter of design, in something like the cell, that there is no possibility that this just happened. In fact, one scientist said that the cell is more complex than the most complex computer ever made by man, or the most complex machine that has ever even been dreamt of by man. The incredible complexity of the eye gave Darwin, he said, a headache. And well, it should have, with its 7 million cones that see the various colors and its 100 million rods and all of the incredible complexities of this wonderful camera. And yet, Darwin himself said, to believe that this happened merely by natural selection is absurd in the highest degree. And you consider the fact that the care that has been shown in the creation of our habitat. If the Earth were 10% closer to the Sun, we would burn up. 10% farther, all life would freeze and die. If the Moon were 1/5 closer to the Earth, we would have 50-foot tidal waves covering most of the Earth every day. We live on an Earth which is very similar to an apple. Like an apple, the inside of it, the inside of the Earth, to the extent of an apple, is mostly lava. The hard part of the Earth is as thin, comparatively, as the skin of an apple. Did you know that's what you were walking around on? You are kept from being incinerated by that lava, by the thinnest of crusts. Above your head, there are ultraviolet and other radiation that would also destroy you in but a few moments. But you are protected from them by the ozone layer and by the atmosphere. God has indeed designed a wonderful habitat for man. Water, one of the few liquid that expands when it freezes. If it didn't, if it did like most everything else and contracted, then all of the lakes and the rivers would freeze from the bottom up and all fish life would be killed. The atmosphere, just thick enough to save us from the countless millions of meteorites that burn up in it every day. All of this showing the care of a loving God who has cared for us. The American Atheist Society says that Godism is a result of ignorance and contributes to ignorance. In spite of the fact that the first 126 universities and colleges made in this country were built by believers in God and Christ and to his glory. In spite of the fact that the number of people who have been among the most brilliant upon this earth that have believed in God is so vast that you could quote them from now until a week from Sunday and never run out. Just a few might be illustrative. The great philosopher Aristotle, who was said that in his day knew everything there was to know in the entire world about everything. Aristotle, with his gigantic intellect, said, the beauty, order, and harmony of the universe is an expression of the will of God. The structure of the universe is the work of a great intelligence. Albert Einstein, a man of some little intellectual capacity, I think the most vicious critic would have to admit, said, quote, I pity the man who says there isn't a supreme being. Everyone who is seriously involved in the pursuit of science becomes convinced that a spirit is manifest in the laws of the universe, a spirit vastly superior to that of man, and one in the face of which we, with our modest powers, must feel humble. Or Socrates, who has given to us the Socratic method of learning, said, there can be no happiness in life greater than communion with God, the creator of the universe. The great physicist Michael Faraday, I bow before him who is Lord of all. And statesmen as well. George Washington, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Even Ben Franklin, the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. Pascal, the great scientist of France, the evidence for God's existence and his gift is more than compelling. Every one of the presidents of the United States has been a believer in God. Indeed, is Godism the result of ignorance? Well, ask President Dwight D. Eisenhower. He said, quote, "It takes no brain to be an atheist." Did you hear that, Madeline? It takes no brains to be an atheist. Any stupid person can deny the existence of a supreme being. Thomas Edison said that his studies led him to the inevitable conclusion that there is a big engineer who is running this universe. Galileo said that he would infer with certainty the existence of an intelligent creator. And so we could go on and on and on through thousands upon thousands upon thousands of the greatest and wisest of men. Whether you're talking about authors or philosophers or composers or statesmen or scientists or whatever, there have been innumerable number of them who have come to believe in God. And then there is the evidence of conversion, the transformation of the human soul, which is so monumental as to defy explanation. Thousands of pages have been written trying to explain away the conversion of the Apostle Paul alone. What transformed this man from the bitter and hostile critic and adversary of Christ into its most loyal devotee? What changed that volatile and vacillating fisherman Peter into the rock that gave great strength to the early church? What changed Augustine, the greatest intellect of the first 1,000 years of this age, from a profligate and dissolute philosopher into the great intellectual champion of Christianity? John Calvin, perhaps the greatest mind of the last 1,000 years, said, "I was suddenly converted unto God." Martin Luther, who changed the face of Europe, came face to face with a God who changed his life. John Bunyan, that sinful tinker of Bedford who met the living God and was changed into a great pastor and author of Pilgrim's Progress. John Wesley, John Knox, or more recently, C.S. Lewis, the atheist of Oxford and Cambridge, who wrote his testimony in his book, Surprised by Joy, as he came face to face into the presence of that one whose existence he had always denied. Well, perhaps the greatest literary man of the 20th century, the Dostoevsky of our century, is no doubt the great Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who came to meet God while he was in the red belly of the dragon in the Gulag archipelago. Billy Graham, who as a young, frivolous teenager met the living God in Jesus Christ, his life was transformed and tens of millions have been changed as well. Who is going to explain these and hundreds of millions of conversions of others who have led them across the widest oceans, up the highest mountains, through the densest jungles to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to cannibals and headhunters and tribesmen of every sort? And God has used them and their sacrifices to attest to the fact that there is a living God who changes human souls and makes them new creatures in Christ. But all of this will still be but theory until you come at last to that great experiment where in the laboratory of your own soul you meet with the ultimate proof. How do I ultimately know that there is a God? Because, my friends, one day, 35 years ago, I met him face to face, person to person, in my own apartment, when he came to a young man who sought him not, laid his hand upon my shoulder and turned me around. He transformed my heart, gave me totally different reasons for living, and for 35 years he has kept me going in a completely different way. I know there is a God because every day I meet him and talk with him. I know there is a God because he has changed my life. And he can change yours too. When you come to see him in all of his grace, when you come to see him in the face of Jesus Christ hanging upon a cross, when you see his wondrous love as he gave himself for us in Christ, when you see his matchless grace when he's willing to forgive you for all of your sins and to accept you just as you are and freely forgive you and gratuitously grant unto you the gift of everlasting life. When he's willing to give you the gift of heaven, paid for by him at infinite cost, at the sweat and blood and agony of the cross, the wrath of his Father at the payment of hell. When you come to see a love like that, then, my friend, you will know that there is a God. When you know that God as the Lord and Savior of your heart.
It is time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. The Bible tells me in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world is looking for Christians, looking for men, women, boys and girls who will allow the invisible to become visible. God is a spirit. We that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christendom gives opportunity for self-examination. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are created with the ability to stretch our hands to him. I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me, and through his precious blood, I shall be made free. I do believe, for comfort in the time of sorrow, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For relief in the time of suffering, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For guidance in the time of decision, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For protection in the time of danger, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For courage in the time of fear, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For strength in the time of temptation, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
Ripped with riot, incited by my wicked diet. We are what we eat, said the wise old man. And Lord, if that's true, then I'm a garbage can. I want to rise on judgment day, it's plain, but at my present weight, I'll need a crane. So grant me the strength that I may bear witness to the president's council on physical fitness, and an oleo margin on matter, for the road to hell is spread with butter. And cream is cursed, and cake is awful, and Satan is hiding in every waffle. Beelzebub is a chocolate drop, and Lucifer is a lollipop. Give me this day my daily slice, but cut it thin and toast it twice. I pray each night with heavy prayers, deliver me from chocolate eclairs. And when my days of trial are done, and my war with malted milks is won, let me stand so proud with the saints in heaven in a shining robe, size 37. I can do it, Lord, if you show to me the virtues of lettuce and celery. If you'll teach me the evil of mayonnaise, the sinfulness of hollandaise, and pasta in milanaise, and potatoes a la linanaise, and crisp fried chicken from the South. Lord, if you love me, shut my mouth.
All right, Emily. Now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
I believe simply the message between that song and poem is just the word prayer.
Are you 100% for sure on that for your final answer?
Yep. I'm 100% sure on that one.
Well, Ruthie. I guess you weren't watching your tail rearview mirrors very close. Now you need to look out your side driver's door window. Someone's sitting on your side door and about to pass you while she's got her foot in the carburetor. She is now 17 for 20. Yep, Emily, you're 17 for 20 and still got the foot in the carburetor. Amen. You got that 100% correct.
Well, I guess Six is just going to have to go buy me a new carburetor for this car instead of having to buy a new buzzer. So I guess I just got Six on that one. Love you, big bro.
For sure. You will definitely need a new carburetor by the time you're done with this one, because you're definitely coming fast and hard toward the head of the line. And we'll now continue with the program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
revelation for yourself.
Is the Great Commission. It's estimated that by the year 2025, the population of the entire Earth will be approximately 7 billion people. It's been estimated using the figures of our present population that if all the people of the world were to stand in a continuous line, spaced only 1 yard apart, they would stretch out for more than 1 and 1 million miles, more than the distance of 3 round trips to the moon, or a solid army in close formation marching far abreast, encircling the Earth at the equator 16 times. There's a lot of people. All of these people have souls. All of these people are going to spend eternity in one of the two places. It's the responsibility of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and related Christian organizations such as any radio program like Six Eyes Radio Network, to get the gospel to the peoples of this world so they will at least have one opportunity to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, have forgiveness of sin, have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and be waiting to go and spend eternity in the presence of Jesus Christ who died for lost mankind. I know I'm excited. The Great Commission isn't anything new. It isn't something the World Council of Churches or the Roman Catholic Church or the National Council of Churches or any given denomination or combination of denominations have devised. The Great Commission was a set of orders given to the first century disciples of Jesus Christ. Please note carefully, and I shall share the Great Commission with you. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or the age. Matthew 28:18-20 in your King James Version. I would say that's a very good, wonderful peace to know that he is with us always. All right, in other words, in verse 19, Jesus Christ is commissioning his disciples with the full power of an attorney to carry on the work which he started. The power of attorney means the legal and written authority to transact business for another. The accredited agent can act with all authority within the bounds of the legal authorization as much as the one who gave him his authority. That's what we have here in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus gives the Great Commission, because John picks up the Great Commission in his account of the gospel by saying, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. John 16:23 in your King James Version Bible. All the gospel writers record a portion which has a direct bearing upon the Great Commission. As we have just read, Matthew sets the pace for the Great Commission, and then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, emphasizes that, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke, in the third gospel, says, repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24:47 in your King James Version Bible. So we have the unquestioned authority from none other than Jesus Christ, the second person in the triune Godhead, that all believers, whether you are working directly through the local church or you are working through an organization such as our particular radio network, Six Eyes Radio Network, our sacred responsibility is to take the good news of salvation to the length and breadth of the four winds of this earth, that all mankind might hear one time about how Jesus Christ came into the world and died for sinners. That's John 3:16. There's a much misunderstanding in the religious world about the purpose of the body of Christ, because some have taken up the theme of making this world a more pleasant environment. Some labor to equalize the economic standards of mankind. Others battle a bitter war to give social equality. Others busy themselves with the discovery of wonder drugs. National health programs, child care, awakening the underdeveloped nations, and generally improving sanitary conditions. lowering the death rate in the world among the infants, and amid these frenzied, fervent efforts, we have the modern 20th century church, Christian organizations and lay members busily engaged in what some call worldwide evangelism. Yet it appears this vast army of workers have lost sight of the ultimate purpose. Christ established the purpose. He made it plain in simple everyday language when he said, "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." Matthew 28:19 in your King James Version Bible. So it would be good for each of us to take a careful inventory of the plan in which we are personally involved in the Great Commission, because the responsibility is an individual one and is something that cannot be delegated to any other fellow, because you and I personally must be involved in this universal endeavor for God. Are you? You should be. What are you personally doing toward the preaching of the gospel of salvation? Or are you going out passing out tracts? Or are you doing personal witnessing and shaking hands and asking people if they're saved? I remember years ago when I was singing in a church service. My husband and I sang a lot of songs. But it's really beautiful just to know the Lord was with us for all those things, and we just want to praise his name for that. The Great Commission plainly declares, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What part in the Great Commission do you play? Have you involved in the worldwide evangelism? Is something to think about? Do you, through your local church or through an organization such as Six Eyes Radio Network, giving toward the winning of the lost in a national scale? You should. If you don't have money, well, the Lord knows. It's our sacred responsibility to Christ. It's part of the Great Commission. In this lesson, we're probing into the depths of our personal responsibility in the execution of the Great Commission Jesus Christ gave to his disciples before he returned to heaven after his resurrection. First of all, we clearly see from Scripture that all people upon the earth have sinned, and there is a need for all people to hear the only remedy for sin, that is, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. We clearly know that in Adam all sinned and all died, but we also know that in Jesus Christ forgiveness of sin can be given to repentant sinners, and in Jesus Christ only all can be made alive. This is according to the Word of God, and there is no higher authority on the earth today than the Holy Scriptures, which declare the great truth I have just shared with you. I would look at 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. This proves that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the grave. Look at that and you'll know. Then if you don't know Jesus, ask him to come into your heart and ask for your forgiveness of sin, and he will do that. So we see there's a universal need for the gospel message. Secondly, there have been many available to lost mankind of universal love. That love is plainly set forth in probably the best-known verse of Scripture in all the Bible, where John, the beloved apostle, plainly says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life," is John 3:16. That verse plainly sets forth the universal love which God has for the lost mankind, for he's willing to send his only begotten Son down to this earth to become the sin-bearer on the cross of Calvary, that penitent sinners might have forgiveness of sin. The Scripture plainly teaches that Christ gave himself a ransom for sinners, even as the Son of Man came not to be minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, King James Version Bible. This word ransom is literally rendered a redeeming price for man. The only price that God would accept or acknowledge for man's sin was the spotless Lamb of God, which no one else in the universe could give except Jesus Christ. He gave his life a ransom for many. The writer of the book of Hebrews, speaking of the redemptive work of Christ, plainly sets forth the undeniable fact that Christ tasted death in our stead. Scripture, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, for he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9, KJV. So God has one death to his credit, a death that was brought about through a person who never sinned. The Bible says it's only the soul that sinneth that shall die. Christ never sinned, therefore he should not have died, but yet he did. So God has a death to his credit, but he can give to any sinner anywhere in the world, or to as many sinners anywhere in the world who will repent of their sin, confess Jesus Christ as Savior, and then God will count Christ's death on the black side of the ledger. they will exist before God as though they had never sinned. Isn't that a wonderful plan? That's the way salvation works. God looks at a saved person and receives the righteousness of Christ. Sure is wonderful. Praise God. In view of the simplicity of the gospel message brought about by Jesus Christ, you can see why Christ was so accurate in commissioning his disciples to go to all the ends of the earth and tell the life-saving message of salvation. That's why he gave them the Great Commission. That's why the Bible says that all men everywhere, regardless of the country in which they live, regardless of the color of their skin, their nationality, or the dialect, or their language, all men everywhere are required to repent. That's that sacred responsibility before God. Scripture, in the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, wherefore he is given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead, Acts 17:30-31, KJV. Please note the portion in the first verse of Scripture which says, now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's exactly what God means. That's the responsibility of every church, every Christian organization, every lay member, body of Christ, is to endeavor to tell the gospel story to the lost with whom you come in contact so they will repent and be saved. So we see the Great Commission is universal in scope. Secondly, sin is universal in scope. The remedy for sin, Christ's vicarious death on the cross of Calvary, is universal in scope. Therefore, we have no excuses because we are involved in the Great Commission. It's our responsibility to do everything within our physical power to see the message of Jesus Christ is heralded throughout the length and breadth of this world, every known method available to mankind today. One of the urgencies involving this entire situation is the fact that the dispensation of grace in which we now live is fast drawing to a close. This dispensation of time has already run much longer than any of the other periods of time innocency in which Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden was a very short space of time. It's conscious that when they lived in after their expulsion from the garden was several hundred years followed by human government, then God dealing with a family by the name of Abraham under promise, and then law was for the duration of 1,500 years, and now in this period of time, grace, we are knocking at the front door of the year 2025. But right now it's only 2021. It stands to reason that this period of time is going to close someday. When it closes, our door of opportunity to win the lost will be shut for all eternity. If we're going to win the multitudes or even get the message of salvation to them in this period of time, we're going to have to do it now. Time is running out. We have the finest resources available in any age at our disposal, and we should be taking advantage of them with all of our zeal, our technical know-how, and our fervor of spirit. May God lay the burden of missions upon your heart as we study the Great Commission. The early church vigorously pushed the word forward to the limits of the then civilized world and to remote regions beyond, but that was only the area within a few hundred miles of Jerusalem. They were told at that time to begin at Jerusalem and to work their way outward, which they did. But look at a map of Paul's missionary journeys, and it really wasn't a great area the Holy Church and the evangelists covered, yet they did a tremendous job. As I sit here, Six Eyes Radio Network, these messages were played on the stations carrying our program, allow me to teach to more people in 1 week than the combined teachers of the first century church reached in their lifetime. The early church membership of evangelicals, apostles, disciples, and teachers traveled on foot by donkey, by camel, and sailboats. They had no printing presses, no railroads, no automobiles, no airplanes, no radios, no TV or telegraph as a means of swift-carrying communication. Today, we are blessed with all these advantages, and they are at our fingertip disposal awaiting our immediate use of them. And we have 56 countries with the Six Eyes Radio Network. It's pretty cool, praise God. What we're doing with our opportunities, are we honestly and sincerely motivated by the Great Commission in 1903? Bolshevism was born with 17 supporters. Imagine, will you? Only 17 people met and agreed and became part of what we know today as communism. Modern communism dominates more than one-third of the world's population. It's estimated that communists who live in the United States of America spend approximately 40% of their gross income to further the doctrine of Lenin. When American Christians spend only approximately 2% of their income for foreign missions, a little less than $5 per individual per year. We could very easily take a humiliating lesson from this. Printing presses of communism continually grind out the doctrine of Lenin, and those who are involved in that philosophy willingly give 20 times more to promote their cause than American Christians give to the further cause of Jesus Christ. That's sad. If they got the money, they should give it to the Lord. It's been estimated that Americans spend approximately $100 billion yearly for food. We spend approximately $75 billion a year for automobiles and their upkeep. Approximately $80 billion is spent annually for housing and another $60 billion for household operation and upkeep. Approximately $48 billion is spent for clothing, accessories, and jewelry. Approximately $40 billion is spent nearly by Americans for recreation, illegal gambling. Gambling takes out the American pocketbook approximately $90 billion yearly. With approximately 74% of all adults in America drinking alcohol in varying degrees, this same missionary organization estimates that $25 billion is the liquor bill each year. Tobacco bill is $12 billion, while personal care is $6 billion. Religious offerings to churches and welfare is $7 billion, while pets, dog food, and grooming runs $4.75 billion. And at the bottom of the list is foreign missions, which is approximately $300 million. Now, please bear in mind, we've been talking about billions, and the very last item we dropped down to is $300 million. Isn't that a shame? Make inquiry of the average 200-membership church. Ask them what their missionary budget is, and you'll be tremendously surprised. There are many churches of 200 members who never give as much as $5,000 a year to missions. The rare thing to find a church in that membership bracket that gives $1,000 a month for missions. How is the Great Commission going to be carried out, and how is the message of salvation going to reach the lost when we give in such pickaninny fashion to foreign missions? It's estimated that there are approximately 3 million villages in the world without a resident gospel witness. It's further estimated that more than half the people of the world do not know the way of salvation. Responsible estimates state the Bible is yet to be translated into more than 1,500 languages and dialects. At the present rate of progress, it will require at least 150 years to get the job done at the speed we are going. Yet, for the year 2000, conservative cap estimates say that the population of the world would have doubled, and then, of course, under these circumstances, the job still wouldn't be done. Well, we're up at 2021, so it's going to be a while. I think the Lord's coming, though, because I really think we're ready. And I thank God we're, you know, just praise the Lord for everything. It all boils down to the solemn fact God will hold us responsible for the manner in which we have used our talents, our sources, and obeyed the Great Commission. That's why I'm a strong believer that up in heaven at the judgment seat of the Christian works, there's going to be a lot of weeping, shedding of tears, and remorseful hearts in that hour of judgment. The Bible says at the time we'll have to give an accounting to Christ for the way we've lived on the earth. At that judgment, a lot of saints will be willing to give to missions and willing to do whatever they can to help carry out the Great Commission. It'll be too late then. Now is the time to help get the work done. Someday, the government will not be so lenient. A lot of church-oriented people state most bluntly that they do not believe in missions. I don't know how they become indoctrinated in this lopsided philosophy, but they are sticklers for what they believe, and they never donate to any degree to the conduct of the Great Commission, which Jesus gave the disciples when he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Matthew 28:19-20. If missions was an isolated philosophy which you could only find in a few obscure verses of Scripture, then we could rightfully take time to discuss it, debate it, and maybe delegate it to the obscure corner of the church's responsibility. But missions and missionaries began a way back in the Old Testament. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, "Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land." 2 Kings 17:27 KJV. First, the scripture says the king of Assyria sent one of the priests of Israel back to teach the people about the kind of God that dwelt in the land. He taught them to fear Jehovah God. There's a clear-cut missionary endeavor out
lined in the Old Testament. The psalmist, 1,000 years B.C., plainly declares, "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people." Psalm 96, 2-3. There's a missionary outreach for you recorded in the Psalms 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. There's hardly anybody living today who's ever turned on their TV set or radio and even heard a small fragment of a religious broadcast or read a few pages of a religious book or has attended church half a dozen times in his life who hasn't heard about Jonah. Much debate goes on among the peoples of the world about a big fish that swallowed Jonah. Now, if you'll stop and think for a moment, that whole story began simply because God wanted Jonah to be a missionary. The Word of God plainly declares, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2 in your KJV Bible. This was written approximately 850 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Jonah was a missionary. It's true, he had some difficulty getting started, but once God got through to Jonah, which he had to do in an unusual way, then Jonah became a good missionary. He became interested in worldwide evangelism. Jesus had not given the Great Commission at that time, but Jonah was sure doing some missionary work before the whole fair was over with. Throughout the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the account of missionary endeavor. When we come to the book of Acts, which is a history of the early New Testament church, we find in the very first chapter of the book of Acts, where the church had been endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, they were specifically instructed concerning their future missionary activities. Scripture, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1:8, KJV. You'll note here the Great Commission, which Jesus Christ officially gave his apostles in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, is emphasized in the first chapter of the book of Acts. The Great Commission and gospel benefits that will follow the preaching of the Word of God were to be a worldwide endeavor, not only to the Jews, because he did say unto them, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria." Note the last phrase of these instructions says, "and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That includes all of Europe, that includes all the Middle East, that includes all the Far East, that includes the Scandinavian countries, that includes all the Africa, New Zealand, Australia, lands of the sea, South America, Central America, North America. You see, no place on the earth is exempt from hearing the gospel message, which was guaranteed the peoples of the world through the Great Commission that Christ gave unto his disciples. God has determined that everybody on the earth will have an opportunity to know about him. During the Great Tribulation period, before Christ's second advent, when he returns to the earth to deal with the Gentile nations, judges Israel, and puts her in the land promised to her forefather Abraham, and puts the 12 apostles on 12 thrones judging Israel, he has an angel fly through the heavens preaching the gospel message. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." That's Revelation 14:6, King James Version Bible. God even uses the angels to tell the message to the multitudes of the earth during extenuating circumstances, which wickedness reigns supreme throughout the world, and there was no human beings available to do the job for him. That's confirmed in the verse of scripture quoted above. It's possible to cover the earth in this present generation, which the gospel message, the Great Commission, which Jesus Christ gave his disciples more than 1,900 years ago, is still in vogue today. And the job could be done if each one of us would accept the personal responsibility of doing what we can do with what we have. God does not expect the impossible. God doesn't even ask the impossible. God is asking each one of us to do what we can do, but we need to do it now. Next year may be too late. In the light of what we're talking about in this lesson, what do you believe God would have you do personally? This ministry, which is seen in, or listened to in 56 countries, that's quite a bit of an impact on Six Eyes Radio Network. It's a good outreach. And I would say that Six is doing a fantastic job. The greatest missionary this planet has ever known was none other than Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ came from a foreign country, heaven, to this earth, lived and died on this planet for the welfare and the benefit of all humanity. We can look back in the pages of our history books. We can recall the names of great missionaries who went to Africa, China, to South America, other foreign lands of the world, and they were all illustrious, noble, self-sacrificing people, and the world is a better place because of them. But we thank God that in his great plan for lost mankind, he laid his land of direction upon his son to come to the planet Earth as a missionary, as our Redeemer, that we might have forgiveness of sin and we might have an eternal home with God forever. Christ paid the supreme price. He did not have to do it, but thank God he did. Praise his name. Because Jesus Christ came and paid our sin debt, the Christian world owes a debt to God. Never in our lifetime or in the eons of eternity will be able to repay God for what he has done through his son, Jesus Christ. Not only do we owe a debt to God, to Christ, to the Holy Spirit, but we owe a debt to our own immediate community. Thank God for the church buildings in our communities. Thank God for the people in our communities who preach the gospel and stand for the things of God. How would you like to live in a town that did not have one single individual church? You owe a debt to your community, you owe a debt to your state, to the nation in which we live, and to the whole wide world. The world is ripe for missions at this present time. From my study of Bible prophecy relative to the culmination of this age, I am strongly persuaded that we're living in the lengthy shadows of the day of grace. And what we're going to do toward telling the rest of humanity that Christ died for them and the second coming of Christ draweth nigh must be done as soon as possible. There is no other alternative. It's not up to us to make the decision as the length of time remaining, but it's in the hands of God, and all external evidences point to a soon culmination of this age of grace. Therefore, we should be sensitive to our thinking, to our responsibility, to the Great Commission that Christ gave his disciples. We should be asking ourselves individually, what can I do? When the Six Eyes Radio Network came to be, I don't remember what year, but the Lord's been with us all this time, and I believe the Lord's going to take care of us, and we just want to do a good job for him, all of us together. A number of opportunities are available to send the message of Christ to a lost and dying world. We need to have dedicated people ready to stand with us in these times of opportunity. Will you be one of them? Doors to preach the gospel are open today as never before. There are plenty of opportunities to put your money to work for God and the carrying out of the Great Commission. Please bear in mind, Jesus told his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe things whatsoever I have commanded you," Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Please call and tell us what you will do, 1-424-243-9617. 7 days a week is our Six Eyes Radio Network, and the next lesson will be the days of Noah.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND. .org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order
to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. Did you enjoy the program today? Well, you could get all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, whether Station 1 or Station 2. All you have to do is first download your iHeartRadio. Once you downloaded the iHeartRadio app, then go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that and you click enter, you will see two results pop up. The first, Six Eyes Radio, and the second, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. These are the results for both Station 1, Six Eyes Radio, and Station 2, Six Eyes Radio Network 2. You'll want to click on both and get both added to your device so you can listen to all the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for both Station 1 and Station 2 so you can enjoy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, at your leisure. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, Ruth, and who do we have with us on the old gospel bus as we pull into the station?
Just got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels always, and you and me.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to ask you to give us a closing prayer, and then we'll be out of here tonight, but want to invite everybody to tomorrow's shows. There are two. First off, on Six Eyes Radio Network 2 at 1 p.m., you call 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. 1 p.m. Eastern is the Jumbo Braille program, and we'll be picking back up in our book,
Keegan's Lady. And then on station 1, right here, 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. 9 p.m. Eastern is The Truth with the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. Once again, 9 p.m. Eastern. All right, Sister Ruth.
Well, Lord, we love and praise your name tonight. I hope everybody in those over 100 countries had a good time. And it looks like Ian enjoyed himself and Emily. They probably just got tired. I imagine her, she went to sleep probably. And he worked so hard over here, I think he had to drop. So we just want to praise your name, Lord, for what we have to help us now. And people are so nice. We just want to praise your name for all you do. Love you. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody.